Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and today is March the 25th, 2021. So I wanted to welcome everyone, and you can always email me your questions beforehand or ask them on our calls here too. And we have our calls, as you know, every second and fourth Thursday of the month. So the next one will be April 8th, and then April the 22nd. So you can put those dates in your calendar if you'd like. Those will be our next ones too. And then I'll have the call replay up for this shortly after the call here. So what we wanted to talk about today is the pressure that high school athletes have to perform to get into the college that they want. Often they want to play their sport in the college of their choice and perhaps get a sports scholarship as well. And there's a lot of pressure and competition with other athletes to do that, of course. So just wanted to talk about what kinds of pressure the high school kids are going through and with this process and addressing the mental health and insecurities of athletes, how you can address those when there's a lot going on in that whole area, that colleges are so much more expensive now, and so a lot of times they're depending and parents are depending and hoping that the athlete will get a scholarship so that they can afford to go to college. And then talk about how college pressure, how that whole issue, it can help you to get more clients for your coaching practice, because parents are wanting their kids, and the kids are wanting to get into a college, they experience this pressure and difficult time getting in, and so that puts, kind of, sometimes it can take the enjoyment factor out of their process of playing, and it can make it more like a job or seem like a job. So wanted to talk about that. But the good news is that we, in this, our field of sports psychology and as performing edge coaches, you can really help with that. And it can oftentimes, I've been working with college or with high school athletes for many years now, and the majority of them want to get into colleges, and so that's one of the reasons they come to me, and they can come to you for help with that, to be able to handle the performance aspects when college scouts are coming earlier and earlier on to look at the high school kids and their performance. And so they could be watched. Sometimes they don't know they're being watched by these scouts, so they have this kind of a pressure there to do well all the time. And so you can attract high school athletes to your coaching. And so I wanted to talk about this also because the timing that now, each state is different, of course. I know, like, Dave, in Utah, things have been open for a while. In California, they're opening more slowly, but just now the athletes are starting to practice again depending on their sport, and so they're having to go from kind of 0 to 100% all of a sudden with not much practice before this, and then all of a sudden having to practice and compete very quickly all at once. And so I want to give you an example of one high school athlete I'm working with that's experiencing that now, and you can tell me about yours as well. So, yeah, talk about that transition in the pandemic here, going from no practice to sudden high-pressure competitions, and talk about how you can help your athletes to make that transition and reducing the pressure, increasing the sort of fun factor, the enjoyment factor in sports while being able to, handle the pressure. It's still going to be there, but be able to maybe see it in a different way, see it as an opportunity. Embrace the pressure, and helping your athletes' confidence to be able to perform in front of college scouts and recruiters. And then just talk about any of the concerns that you have noticed with high school athletes, and concerns from sports parents, from their parents. Oftentimes there's a lot of pressure there, added pressure that the kids don't need, that they're already getting enough pressure from themselves and from schools, and now they've got this pressure from the high school parents who, you know, say, well, we're paying you for a lot for your coaching here, so you better perform. That kind of messaging is going on. So talking about all of that. So, yeah, let me just check in and see. I know, Dave, you're on the call, and I've got some other people in the background that are on mute, too. So, but, Dave, yeah, do you want to just talk about your what you've noticed with your athletes and any thoughts or hopes, pressures that they have about getting into colleges based on their sports?
Sure. So down here, it's like we've got a full battery of meets coming, like probably about 20 meets or so, you know, freshman, sophomore, and varsity. But what I've noticed is I asked them, so, you know, are you feeling any nerves?
Can you speak up just a little bit or hold the phone closer to you?
Sure, sure. Asked them prior to the meet or even at the meet, like, you know, what's your energy like, you know, kind of where are you at? And they all say, oh, I'm not nervous at all, I'm fine. And then they get up there and you can see it. You can really see them struggling. And so, you know, that couple of deep breaths of the nose, visualization beforehand, all that stuff we practiced, it didn't go out the window, but, you know, they're young people, so it's going to require a lot of practice. And so what I've instituted is at least twice a week we do a mock meet towards the end of practice. And it's like official. We take the marks on the javelin, you know, as far as, you know, how far they throw. And I'm finding that that's helping them in addition to, like, videotaping, doing some actual live video, like, feedback in the moment, because I have my iPad out there. And I'm finding that that is not just engaging them, but it's also giving them a sense of kind of calm, like, okay, you know, if I make a mistake, it's just a chance to reset, right? I don't beat myself up, just get back to the drawing board. So whenever somebody, you know, makes a throw that is just not what we're looking for, I'll have them run out, grab the javelin, come back, and repeat the throw right there with the correction made. And if that takes a couple of times, so be it. And everyone, I think, appreciates that part of it, is that we're making corrections in the moment. So that's kind of what I've seen as of late. And just, you know, getting them mentally prepared and relaxed leading in, but then able to amp up their energy to competition level. I think that's going to be kind of my bigger challenge at times, because I think COVID did something to the energy at the last meet I was at.
Speak
more about that. Yeah, it was almost like it was sullen, that kind of higher pitched energy you might expect from the first meet of the year. It wasn't there. Other coaches noticed it. You know, I kind of had to, like, work to amp a couple of kids up to just, you know, an energetic level to warm up, stuff like that. I was like, okay, so, you know, COVID obviously had some impact here, even though they were open.
Yeah. Yeah, so it can sometimes anxiety or pressure can take different forms, sometimes it can make your energy level get too high, too amped up. Sometimes at such a high anxiety that it kind of wipes out your energy, and yeah, you feel too wiped out and not able to get excited about the race, because you've maybe some athletes do all their worrying before the race or the game and then don't have the right amount of energy for the race itself. So that can be going on because they're worrying about being watched as well as doing well there. So that's a factor too. I know that, Anna L. was going to join us from France. Are you there, Anna L.? I think hopefully we'll hear when she comes on here, so I just want to ask her about her experience too there. I think we might have June and in Texas and John in Nebraska also listening in. So if you want to contribute also, feel free. So Yeah, but nervousness, I guess one thing you can talk about with your athletes is nervousness can be your best ally, and you can harness the power from your nervous system toward your goals. But sometimes we become so worried and anxious before a race or a game, it can hinder your performance significantly. And what you can tell your athletes, I think what's reassuring is that athletes who consistently perform well, they found ways to channel that their negative thoughts, take charge of their emotions, and really turn their energy into nervous energy into a powerful source of strength and confidence. And so you can help your athletes to develop that ability, I think, to shift their focus from that negative focus of, oh no, someone's watching me, or is this going to have huge consequences, the stakes are high, to shift from that to a more positive thinking within their sport, and then that can help with other aspects of life too. So, it's good to, like you were saying, Dave, to encourage your athletes to be aware of their anxiety level. If you can do a video of them, that can help zeroing in on their facial expressions. And they can just see, an athlete might say, oh, I'm fine. But then you show them the look on their face or the energy, and they can see, oh, yeah, I'm not so fine. I've got a lot going on here. So being aware of that anxiety level, I think an emotional state is critical to doing well in an event, because sometimes, you can amp, if you need to get amped up, you can, and some jumping jacks, more movements, increase your breathing pattern, or if you need to slow down, just a simple breathing, changing your breathing process can make a big difference there. Taking those 5 deep abdominal breaths, or three breaths within 10 seconds can really help to redirect your energies away from that self-consciousness toward a great performance. And so I think one thing you can tell your athletes is to become an Olympic gold medalist or to become a top athlete at any level, in any sport, you have to train for the pressure as well as train for the event. And I think, sometimes athletes, I was working with an athlete before the Olympics, a few years ago, and she said that even everyday tasks would bother her, make her nervous, just became really, really nervous. And she said, I'm worried I'm not going to make the opening height on the doing the pole vault, and concerned I'm not going to qualify for the team. But then we started working on relaxation and imagery exercises. And once she acknowledged her fears, then I could let those go. And she told me, go into a quiet room and close my eyes and see myself relaxing and doing the jump correctly. And after practicing those techniques, just seeing herself doing it correctly over and over, then she felt she was better able to handle the pressure and felt ready for the Olympic trials that were coming up. So it can... Each athlete's different too, and that anxiety can take on all different forms. So it's good to ask your athletes what they're going through, what their fears are, if you have a chat, if you're working with an individual athlete, ask about their parents and the situation at home and what kind of, pressure the parents might be putting on athletes, because that if they just acknowledging that factor can be good. And if usually the first session when I work with someone, I'll see the parent and the child in my office or on the phone, so I can get a sense of what kind of relationship the child has to their parents, and so they can to see how they interact. And that's a really good thing, I think, to get that sense there. And then, sometimes you can really do some helpful therapy right there with the parent as well, saying, you know, yeah, you're a really good sports parent for bringing your child here, and this is great stuff. We can work together. And you could say one thing I noticed is, and just, you know, give your feedback there. It sounds like you may be putting unneeded pressure on that your child has a lot of pressure anyway, and that it looks like you're putting more pressure on them. Do you notice that? And then just check in with the parent and see if they notice that. They might not even be aware of it because they might do it all the time. But to see if they are aware of that, and you could have them be able to back off a little a bit. And I might have mentioned that there was a parent with a 16-year-old basketball player. Parents came in the first session, and the father said whenever his son was made a mistake, he'd go to the games, and whenever the son would make a mistake, the parent would point to his own chest and shake his head back and forth. So he's sitting in the stands, and here the poor kid is watching his dad, you know, pointing to his own chest and shaking his head back and forth, and the kid doesn't even know what that means. And, you know, the father's trying to communicate something, and I asked him in the office there, what does that mean? And he said, well, it means I'm saying heart. You're not playing with enough heart. There's no heart. So that's what the parent was trying to communicate, but it looked really negative and really bad. Almost looked like he's going to punish the kid or something. I asked the child, how does that make you feel? And he said, it's like it makes me feel terrible. Like I'm disappointing my dad and I feel even worse. It makes me play even worse. So when the father heard that, then, I said, you know, can you back off and maybe not give him those negative signals and just write down your, because he was trying to coach him kind of from the stands too. And I said, just write down your thoughts and then talk afterward. And he said, okay, he agreed to do that. He said, okay, you will not get any more negative messages from me. He was from Yugoslavia, one of those countries where it's very strict and very negative types of coaching. And so he did that and made that change in the next session. When they came in, the son said, Dad didn't do that anymore. And he had his best game ever and made 21 points in the basketball game. So it was an example of how you could just, by just backing off on the pressure that the parent is giving, a child is able to move forward to perform much better. I wanted to give an example of a current girl I'm working with, a 16-year-old softball player, and she's a catcher, and she just I just work with her a couple sessions now, and she is wanting to get into college at one of the California colleges, one of the UCSB or UCSD or one of the Loyola, one of those colleges, and because they have good teams and good college scholarships. And she feels like she's 16, almost a senior this fall, she'll be a senior. And so during the pandemic, of course, she's had not much chance to compete at all, and she's been practicing on her own, but no chances to compete or really practice much during, you know, for several months. And now the teams are starting to practice again, and she has playing with her high school team, and then also a private team. And so all of a sudden she's got two practices to go to, and then there's a showcase. She just did a tournament for a showcase where she has an opportunity to be on an elite team, where the college recruiters go. There's something called Jamboree, where they all are doing a showcase kind of thing. So that's a really great place to be able to get seen by the college recruiters and the scouts. And so she is almost kind of, like I was saying, going from 0 to 100% in terms of not much practice to all of a sudden, you know, she's in a position where she is, you know, feels like it's her a chance to show what she knows, but also a feeling like everything I do is going to determine my whole life here, my career, and so putting a lot of pressure on herself. It's a great opportunity, but also feels like she gets overwhelmed and is overthinking everything, and it gets to the point where it's hard to breathe, she says. So, I mean, if you get to that point where it's really hard to breathe, that can lead to a panic attack. I think she hasn't gotten to that point, but it's that's a possibility. So we haven't talked about that, but it's something that to be aware of, for you to be aware of for your athletes, if they, you know, get to the point where they're just doing short, shallow breathing and not and really a lot of pressure and overthinking, it can lead to you know, just feeling like they can't function at all for a little while. So so breathing is really important to teach those abdominal breathing exercises, of course. And to be able to embrace, talk about pressure as a good thing. I think we're doing that now, as well as a difficult thing to handle. That pressure means the best athletes can really handle pressure in a embrace it and say bring it on, rather than I can't handle this. She says she, because of all of this college pressure, you know, she tends to overthink and is thinking of 10 things she needs to do when she goes up to bat, as opposed to just, you know, one thing. And so those are some of the things to look for there. And also she got, during the pandemic just a month ago, she got the COVID-19 and disease and got ill, didn't have to go to the hospital, but it was got severe flu symptoms and was very ill for 3 weeks, and so it's now just getting her energy back. And so that can be really devastating when you're feeling like you're having to, your coaches are depending on you. But it's important for us as coaches to see, bring up the positive side of things, and to say, now that you've had COVID, you're probably, you know, your system has some immunity, and that can help you to be stronger now and hopefully not get COVID again. So that can be a really good thing to, if you're going to get it early on in the season, not right in the part of competitions. So so that can be a really good thing. But she says one thing she's worried about is she's scared to disappoint the coaches, and scared that she'll disappoint her parents and her teammates. So so that's a big, huge thing, especially with girls. I think they really think a lot about their how they're going to impact other people. And so I asked her to, first we did describe a peak performance, the time when she performed at her best, and she told me about that, and a time when she hit, when she was the first main game of a season a year ago, and then she hit a home run and did really well. So we made a visualization based on that so that we could, and that's one thing you can do with your athletes right away, so that you give them a positive experience that they can listen to on an audio. And then this time, in the second session, we talked about, I gave her homework to do to, you know, on the left side of a page, write down negative thoughts and self-doubts that come up. And then on the right side of the page to write her power words or positive self-statements to counteract those, to write three, to write three positive statements for every one of the negative ones. And so she started doing that. And then we talked about them in the session here. And so the first one was, as I mentioned, worrying about letting the coaches, teammates, and her mom down. And so we asked her to come up with some positive self-statements around that. And she said that my coaches believe in me, and my coaches and my parents and my teammates, they know my potential. And so just tell myself, relax, it's going to be okay. And I'm working as hard as I can, and I'm working smart. So those are some positive self-statements, examples that you can have if your athletes can come up with statements themselves, that's the best way. If they can't, then you can help them get started with some ideas yourself. And then you can, continue to ask about the self-doubt. So other things that she said were, you know, feeling like, I have to do this. You know, I have to hit the ball, like when she's up at bat. So she would tend to swing at bad pitches because she's over-anxious. And feeling like because she's the college, college scouts may be watching her, and at this tryout she was at recently, she was aware everybody was writing, there were a lot of coaches there, and they were writing down things and watching her, and so she was very aware of that and was saying to herself, okay, I have to hit the ball because they're all watching me, this is my one chance. And overthinking, you know, she was overthinking the adjustments that she needs to make, like with her stance and where the bat is placed and needs to get her swing just right, and, you know, thinking of way too many things at once. So the positive side of that, on the right-hand side, she wrote, came up with some thoughts like, relax and swing, trust in my training, watch the ball all the way in. So that's a really important one. It's specific to softball, of course, but it can relate to all different sports, but just, you know, relax and watch the ball all the way in, where she would tend to anticipate what the ball is going to do and then swing too soon or swing at everything. And then another negative thought was getting too anxious, wanting to hit the ball. And so with the positive thoughts she came up with, know that my swing is good. Stay inside the ball, loading my legs, staying so that I've got power. So those kind of things, you know, some technical things as well as some mental things. Trust that I know how to do this. And then we went through a visualization with just not saying the negative side, but just the positive thoughts that she had. And things like saying, I'm well prepared for this. Preparation is really key. Even if you don't, your mind is probably going to say, you're not prepared, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you know, all those negative thoughts. But if you can just reassure yourself, I am well prepared for this. I put in the work, and my body knows how to do this. All of those kind of things can really help. And then we made an audio with just those kind of thoughts. And the outcome so far was that when she went to those tryouts for to be on this team where it's going to be a showcase team, she went to the tournament a week ago and did the tryouts, and then she ended up getting invited onto this elite team, and they're going to have this showcase tournament called the Jamboree, where lots of college coaches will be there. That will be this summer. So she just in one session was able to, and now the second session, able to put together some helpful mental trainings and performing edge principles here And it, so really quickly, she was able to, you know, perform well under a pressure situation. And then I reminded her that when she goes to, so she's done it once here, and then once now that she goes to this elite camp this summer, she'll be able to, it'll basically be the same thing. To remind yourself, it'll be the same kind of situation where coaches are watching her. And so you can do the same. You can have the same good performance. So she can start to build her confidence and build a good track record. So, yeah, so it's good to, when you remind your athletes that when they worry about performance, that, you know, just be aware that that anxiety, whether it's college or whatever their, college scouts that they're worried about or other things, that anxiety, it shows itself in physical and mental forms. And so, and usually it's the same response for each person. Each person has a unique kind of stress system. You know, maybe some people get butterflies in their stomach, or maybe they get, they blank out, or whatever it is. But that usually, that same kind of system happens in that person, whether you're doing a practice at a game, or whether you're on a track meet, or whether you're in a school meeting, or for adults if they're in a business meeting, you know, that high stress level, that same pattern seems to happen. And so our bodily responses they're similar, even though the circumstances might be a little different. And so it's good to remind athletes we not only worry in our minds, our whole body worries. So if you're concerned about something coming up, you know, we usually picture it in our mind, and then the body responds exactly as if you're right there. So you want to have your athletes, if they're worrying about the college competition, to be able to picture in their mind doing well, so that they can respond well, because they might notice sweating or elevated heart rate or some reaction that accompanies the mental state. So some of the warning signs are things like, you know, with mental cues, you might have a lack of focus. Ask your athletes, do you have these things, do you forget critical details, or have trouble focusing, have a sense of, confusion about things, or resorting to old habits sometimes, like some athletes, you know, always do something, you know, like short, shallow breathing, or inability to make decisions, like with a softball player. They've got to make this really quick decision every time when the pitch comes. And so you want to have that ability to make a fast, good decision. They might have rapid speech. All those kind of things can happen. And then some of the physical cues of that anxiety, you know, worrying about the college or other things, they might include like the hyperventilation, short, shallow breathing. It could be muscular tension in the shoulders. It could be elevated blood pressure, or a sense of fatigue. Like Dave, you mentioned some athletes, have a low energy level because they might have worried so much, they're like worrying themselves to not have that ability. Yeah. So, or Dave, do you want to check in and see, do any of those things, what resonates with you?
So I think a lot of the athletes, at least my collegiate athlete, he had a fantastic first meet because there's only three meets in his season due to COVID. Fantastic first meet. Second meet, I think he worried and he got himself very worked up. And so I'm going to do more research on it, but this thing around arousal and just, he was so amped up all night that I think by the time he got to the meet, he was done. Like he had just wired himself out. Despite all the support and all the prep, it was all there. This was, in my mind, just based on what he told me, and we kind of came to agreement that this was a mental challenge of him, a struggle that he went through at the time of the meet. And it was like a downward spiral, and he couldn't catch it, and his body went right there with him. So what you said about kind of the mind-body connection, it was like the mind went first and then the body followed him down, and he couldn't amp himself back up to a competition level. And so I think there's something to that, especially for him and other athletes I'm working with. I think there's, like, let's find where that peak performance level is for you, because, you know, shot put and javelin are such short events. You have to get in and you got basically like a 10-second window to perform. So I think there's going to be some work to be done as far as ramping up and then throwing, and then you're going to plateau and then wait 20 minutes for your next throw in some cases.
Yeah. Because it's, you throw and then you wait for your next chance kind of thing.
Yeah, because there can be like 15 throwers, and so that it can take, you know, a good 15 to 20 minutes till you throw again, you know, and you warm up, and if you're the last person, it could be 45 minutes till you throw from your initial warm up. So you really have to time it right, and you know, shot put and discus and javelin are they're quick events, so you have to be able to mentally prepare yourself, ramp up, compete, and then I think you kind of plateau down again, and then you wait to ramp up again.
Yeah, it's really that sport with javelin, and it's like a up and down kind of thing. It's not as like with a marathon, you're out there and you're just running a steady state kind of thing.
Yeah, I had one question regarding, like, In the marathon, when you're running like that, are you tracking your heart rate as well as your splits? Are you looking at your heart rate to see where that is? It's like split heart rate. Would they run in tandem to kind of see how you're doing or where you're at as far as performance? Would that happen?
Yeah, I think it's different for each athlete. Some people are very, I think most athletes just don't wear heart rate monitors, say in a race or something. They just track how they feel. And there's a few that might wear a heart rate monitor might see the heart rate. But I think it's something that can be too much information, and the research shows, you know, when you're in a long distance event like that, you're gradually over time, especially or if it's warm too, the heat factor, your heart rate tends to gradually increase a little bit as you're going through, and that's just a normal response. And so that might unnecessarily freak you out if you're looking at a heart rate monitor and you see, oh, my heart rate's going up, oh, my God. When, in fact, it's just a normal reaction to, you know, doing an event for a long time like that. And so I think it's better to just track how you feel in general. And like if it's a hilly race, of course, if you're going up a hill, your heart rate's going to go up a little bit for the hill, and then going down, it's going to recover, and that's all normal. So I think it's better to just track how, you know, the feeling of working hard but not being overly not feeling like or if you're feeling like for some reason your heart goes way up, like if you're surging to pass another athlete, you might have to take a little more energy and your heart rate is going to go up for a short time, and then you maintain it, and then you come and then go back into your regular pace. If it's for a short time like that, it should be fine. But I think you can use your breathing to bring your heart rate down a little bit if you feel like it's too high kind of thing, or you can always adjust your pace. So does that make sense?
Yep, it does. Thanks.
Yeah, sometimes I think with all the technology, we get too much information, TMI, right? And it can can be overwhelming where you want to just, and it can, sometimes it can overwhelm, override your ability to check in with yourself and to ask yourself, how am I feeling? What do I normally want to feel like? With a marathon, you can make those adjustments along the way in your pace, and you can always slow down a little bit or increase. But with Dave, you're working with track athletes, is that right? That are shorter distance?
Yes. Yeah, so they're javelin throwers, but then I also have high jumpers and hurdlers who come over to throw too. So, and they're all super athletes, but they've had no exposure to kind of the mental training, none of it. It's really a fresh program in that aspect. So they're all kind of, they're fresh and ready to learn. And you know, it's just interesting how they just don't, they don't display a lot of nervousness, right? You don't see them delaying or, you know, none of that. It's, but you can ultimately see it in their performance. So I think just stressing that part out and getting them comfortable, because javelin is a very hard event to learn and do well. So just getting them ready to do that mentally and be technically sound. That's because I'm having to do a lot of that first, right? Technically sound, good accepting feedback, coachability, right? Grace, all the things you mentioned, really pushing that, you know, to be coachable. And they are responding positively, so I feel like it's a good inroad.
Yeah. That's great. I think there's anger, and just letting athletes know that when you're anxious, that does affect heart. It can affect heart rate, and so it's good to be aware, check in, but let athletes know that if they have some of those signs of stress, that it's not like the game's over. We can do something about those, and for instance, I have a computer, a biofeedback system, and I can show that athletes, some people respond more with their cardiovascular system, so they might have high blood pressure or rapid heart rate with stress. Other people might be more reactive to respiratory system that causes the short, shallow breathing. Sometimes those both go together, but they might have nervous breathing or dizziness or hyperventilation sometimes with high stress, or others might have an overreactive muscular system where they're more prone to, you know, like neck and shoulder pain or tension or cramping. You know, a lot of athletes get those stomach cramps, abdominal cramps, and that can be from stress too, or sometimes a combination of all of those things working at once. And so I think, it's good to just talk about those things with your athletes and say that anxiety, the performance anxiety, it's really heightened when they're thinking about other people watching them, and especially scouts from colleges, that kind of thing. So anxiety, that worry, it usually happens when there's a difference between what is hoped for or expected and what is actually happening. So let's say you go to a race, you know, the college scouts are there and you're primed to run your fastest race, and then you encounter pouring rain and there's 25 mile an hour winds, or some part of your body, let's say your knee starts acting up and you warm up and your team is counting on you to run a fast time and get critical points, and also you're counting on your parents are counting on you to perform well because the college scouts are there. So chances are, in those conditions, you know, it's hard to run a personal record, and you have to change your goals a little bit. But the external pressure is still there, and it's important to just help our athletes to read your mental cues and physical cues that we just talked about, and kind of interpret them correctly and just notice if your arousal level is too high. And then the good thing is you can intervene early before the stress becomes unmanageable, and you can learn to take deep breaths, give yourself those positive statements. If you have your athletes do that exercise, like I was having my softball player do, where you write the self-doubt, negative thoughts on the left side of a page and the positive thoughts on the right side, the power word statements, then they'll have those statements there. And put them on a tape so they listen to it many times, then they can have that ingrained in their mind, and they can be able to say those positive statements when they need to. And relax enough to problem solve, figure out and adjust appropriately, you know, right there in the situation, adjust to whatever is happening. So I think it's good to be able to tell your athletes that, you know, it's different, distinguish between being worried and being psyched and ready for the challenge. You can say that, you know, the bad energy, like you said, Dave, and I think Anna L., I just want to invite, Anna L., if you're there, you can, I think you were going to join us, and maybe June and John, if you have questions, feel free to jump in. Any time too, or you can email me a question. And bad, that bad energy is generated by fear and nervousness about performance and feeling out of control. But the good energy comes from enthusiasm. You can turn that around to good energy, which comes from enthusiasm, feeling ready for anything. So, and I think, you know, the big factor that we're talking about here with the, you know, wanting a college scholarship is that factor that, you know, being overly concerned about the outcome of your performance, not knowing the outcome and obsessing about all the what ifs, it can threaten your sense of well-being. And so you're concerned about the consequences of the outcome, you know, and are those coaches seeing me? Am I going to get enough play time? Am I going to be able to perform well when it counts, when the scouts are looking at me? And am I going to be able to, is that going to lead to, you know, getting into a good college and maybe a scholarship? All those things are kind of going through the athlete's mind, and they might be thinking, well, if I don't perform well in this one race or this one game, I'll lose that chance, or I'll let my team down or let my coaches down. I won't get asked back to that that team, or won't get asked to recruited to a college. Maybe you're thinking of all those things. I might, or an athlete that's in college that has a college scholarship, they might be thinking, I might lose my scholarship or not be able to play on the team. So all those negative thoughts, they can affect your mental outlook. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the tools for handling, you know, performance anxiety and for handling those questions about colleges. First of all, they can get more information they can get about the process, what scouts are going to be at different things, and get used to being watched. Like you said, Dave, you know, videoing them or doing a mock, you know, pretending like there is a, like it's a showcase game or tournament, even in practice, that can be good so you can prepare for the pressure as well as prepare for the event. And so athletes, because athletes that consistently perform well, they can find ways to rechannel their negative emotions. You can help your athletes take charge of their thoughts and turn the nervous energy into that powerful source of inner strength and confidence. So with these tools, I want to give you a few tools here to help your athletes learn to quickly shift from that worried mind to a more confident focus within the sport, as well as they can use these things for other aspects of life too, because they may be taking, you know, college tests like the SAT. Some colleges now are making those tests optional, but they those tests are still there, and that creates a lot of performance anxiety too. So, like with some athletes, I've worked with them with these same techniques for to use in competitions as well as in taking the tests, SAT, to do well. So you can actually help athletes with both those things if they're wanting to help with those. And tell them it has a dual purpose. The same techniques that we're doing now can be used for two really important things, for athletic performance and test performance. So it's the same process, really. It's the same thing that goes through our minds, that, you know, wanting to focus on the process rather than the outcome. And so I think what's good to do is normalize what they're feeling, and because research and self-reports from top athletes tell us that virtually all performers experience high levels of pre-competition anxiety. So tell your athlete, you are not the only one. You're not alone in this. And many athletes have extremely highly elevated anxiety levels. So even with these high levels of nervousness, that a lot of athletes are able to perform exceptionally well and very close to their potential, because they understand that this anxiety is going to be there, and they can learn to work with that. So it's not how much anxiety is there, but how the athlete perceives your own personal signals of anxiety and how they're channeled. So the research literature shows that for elite athletes, that pre-competitive anxiety it shows itself primarily on a physical level. And with the top athletes, the mental part is there, but it doesn't affect the performance so much, that much. And so the difficulty, like forgetting details, that's not a major factor for top athletes most of the time, and and that might be one distinguishing factor between those that do really well. They're physically anxious, but the mental part, they keep that under control. And so the absence of that cognitive disruption is an important thing. You can say, okay, I'm nervous. This is the way I feel, and when I do my very best. So have athletes say that, you know, acknowledge the nervousness and say, I'm nervous, this is the way I feel. And these feelings are associated with my best performances or with great performances. So that's a wonderful thing you can have athletes say to themselves, put that on audio for them and repeat it, saying, okay, I am anxious, and okay, the scouts are here, the college recruiters are here, and that's a good thing. It gives me an opportunity. That's when this is the way I feel, and when I race my really best, or I perform my best in these games. And this feeling is associated with doing really well. So this is a good thing. Tell your athletes to embrace it. This nervousness is a good thing. And so you can harness that power from your nervous system and direct it toward your goals. And you have all that energy working for you instead of interfering with your performance. So some specific things, you can have athletes like keep a little logbook to determine their optimal performance profile and begin so they can reproduce it each time. So something you can do is have them keep a log of their stress responses. So you can write different categories at the top of a page, like stress response, workouts, pre-competition and during competition, those kind of things, and then evaluation of your performance. So, and I'll send this to you in an email also, those different categories. And then on the left side of the page, you might put the different ways that you respond. Like it might be, do you notice butterflies in your stomach, or muscle twitches, or rapid breathing, or heart rate, dry mouth, sense of confusion, lack of focus, trouble making decisions, or irritability. All those kind of things could go on the left side of a page. And then, you know, keep track of the frequency and intensity of those responses. And as you work with athletes, you might find that those responses come down, or that they can just handle them better. And so you notice how strongly you react to things, and keep a profile of which responses, what intensity, because everybody has their own unique response system, so it's important to kind of find out what particular response pattern works for you, because everybody has to have some kind of, you've got to find your right energy level for your ideal performance state. And so you want to tell them that excitement, that nervousness you feel, it may be also excitement that you experience. It can be viewed as a powerful, positive energy source that can really help you to maximize your talent. So did someone else just join us?
Hello?
Oh, hi. Is that Anna L?
Yes, it's me.
Oh.
How are you doing?
Oh, hi. How are you? Oh, good.
Good
to have you on our call. Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, yeah, good. We've got Dave on the call, too. And so, yeah, we're just talking about, college stress about college scholarships and all of that, and what you can, and net performance anxiety, what you can do about that. Yeah, did you have any questions, NL, or any thoughts about that?
No, it's good. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm so glad you can join us all the way from France. That's great. I know you've got the lockdown there, right? And or another lockdown, or are you?
Sorry, in France it's different.
Oh yeah.
It's not high. The level of competition is not in university. It's not at school. It's outside.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they could still compete outside or practice. Okay, that's good. Yeah. Are you working with any athletes in particular, or with sports?
No, it's just, I think it's interesting because maybe you can talk about something that I can use in France. So it's the reason why I think it can be very interesting to talk about this, how do you say that, this subject.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I was just talking about tips for pressure and anxiety and how to handle that and how to repressure or rechannel your nervous energy at the start of a competition. And so some tools you can use are things like you're breathing deeply is a key thing, that one of the most powerful and just most overlooked things. So the quickest, most efficient way to handle that pressure and is to be able to relax and get centered before a competition. Take 10 deep, slow deep abdominal breaths right at the starting line. Put your hand on your abdomen a couple inches below the belly button, and then but combine the breathing with something that you say to yourself. I think is even more powerful. So say as you inhale, you can say to yourself, "I'm breathing in strength," and as you exhale, you can say, "I'm breathing out tension," and that way your body and mind are in sync with each other. So breathing is really key, because wherever we are, we can always breathing is always with us, right? So we can always change that and work with that. And so that's one thing. And then saying nervousness is your friend. You can have athletes repeat that, saying, "Nervousness is my friend. Just accept the fact I'm going to be nervous. And this is a normal reaction before any important events, and that you can make this feeling your ally rather than fighting with it." So, in fact, the nervousness is a good sign that you're telling yourself, "Okay, this nervousness is a good sign. I'm relaxed. I'm ready to roll. I'm excited here." And it's good to distinguish between being worried and being psyched and ready for the challenge. And sometimes you can have both. Just be worried, but also be psyched and ready. Tell yourself, "Okay, this feeling, what I'm feeling now, is directly connected to doing my best. So I can feel nervous, and this is going to help me do my best." And the more I feel this way, the better I'll perform. So, you know, make that feeling of nervousness your ally, your friend, rather than fighting with it or saying, oh, no, you know, I'm too nervous right now. Just be able to do that and know that they can make adjustments to the nervousness with the breathing. You know, you can just take in a few deep breaths to be able to dial it down a little bit. Or if you're not amped up enough, you can breathe a little faster and do some jumping jacks, exercise a little bit. You see swimmers all the time, you know, kind of doing, putting water on their face or jumping or doing quick arm movements to be able to warm up. So, and then telling yourself, once the event starts, I'm going to get moving and the nervousness will subside. And just relax and enjoy the ride. And then tips here are to remind yourself that you are well prepared. You know, your body, your mind is probably saying, oh, I'm not prepared. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't get enough sleep. I didn't get enough training. All that's going on in our head. But you can work. Tell yourself that you can calm yourself down and say, I am prepared. And remind yourself, if you've got a logbook of your training, you know, review your logbook. Have your athletes remind themselves that I'm ready. I know I can do this. I'm trained. I'm rested. I'm ready to go. Remember how dedicated you've been and how far you've come. And have your athletes say, I put in the training. So I could do this in practice, I could do this in competition, and I think, you know, kind of taking that training mindset, the practice mindset that we have when we're relaxed and thinking, okay, this is no big deal, I'm just out here practicing, take that practice mindset right into the competition, or if it's a showcase event, like I was saying, I have this softball player I'm working with, and she's doing a showcase event so that the college recruiters can watch her play. You can say, I'm ready. I'm taking my practice mindset into this because it's training. Everything we do is training for the next event, right? So just remind yourself of that. Prepare. Just remind yourself you are prepared. Even if your brain might be saying I'm not prepared, you can say yes, I am. I've done all the training and I'm going to be fine. Or just saying to yourself that simple thing like everything is going to turn out fine. Everything is going to be fine. Just trust in my training. And then one other thing you want to do is another tip is to mentally rehearse your event. So see yourself doing it right. We might be tending to see the mistakes in our minds, but you want to go over in your mind exactly how you would like to be doing your events. And if you have time, visualize several possible scenarios. So not just visualizing the perfect race, the perfect game, but think about what might happen or different things. Like in a race, like Dave, if you're working with your track athletes, visualize that you might get passed by someone and that you can, you know, use your magnet technique and hold on. Imagine a magnet, putting a magnet on their back and moving forward and being able to use, rather than saying, oh no, someone just passed me, you visualize that and then prepare for being able to hold on, use that person's energy and then hold on to them or stay as close as you can to the guy that just passed you. So being able to visualize those different scenarios. And see yourself in the lead, see yourself coming up from behind, see yourself racing alone or feeling tired and then getting a second win. So many different things you could visualize. All the different scenarios is really important so that you see yourself doing it right. And if the negative stuff comes in, if the mistakes come in, just take a deep breath and just breathe it out. Do the ocean breathing. Imagine an ocean wave just kind of carrying that thought out to sea. And I think see a new movie in your mind. So those are some thoughts and some tips there. Let me just check in with you and see how do those things resonate with you or thoughts that are helpful for you. Dave and Anna L., either one of you. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. You know, kind of just falling in line with mindfulness, you know, being present without distraction. I kind of feel like that's where I'm headed with my next steps, and everything we've been talking about kind of, you know, matches to that. And kind of that body check before the event, and to practice like you're going to compete. And I'm really kind of pressing on that lately, but you know, I think that the mindfulness piece, which people throw around that word a lot, but you know, to really do it and do it consistently, I think it can kind of free you up in the moment, right? Because you're aware that you're doing it. It's like active processing of that moment and redirecting yourself towards the event. So, I mean, I was using it, I think, a long time ago, but I didn't know it. I just didn't have a term for it. So it feels like a natural fit for me to teach it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, when you're practicing, imagine that you're in the event itself, so you can prepare for the pressure as well as prepare for the event. Yeah, so that's good. And there's so many different scenarios, so that it's not so much so different. You know, we think the competition is in our mind is so different than practice, and it's like a whole different animal. But it's actually, you want to think of it, it's like the same thing. It's the same kind of you're doing the same thing. Just you know, yeah, the stakes might be higher, but you have to be able to think, okay, I'm just performing at my best in this situation. And you can, if you can embrace it and say, wow, this competition is going to allow me to perform even better, or just do my absolute best in what I do here, even if you know, and there might be somebody, oh, this other competition is here, you know, so-and-so showed up for the race, I didn't know that. We freak out, but to be able to say, embrace it and say, okay, this person, another person there is going to help me to perform my best, even though they're my competition. So, yeah, being able to use that. So, yeah, those are some tips there. NL, what do you think? Are those tips helpful for you, or anything that resonates with you? Do you have questions?
No, it's good for me. Yes, I agree with you. Just the fact to accept the situation and to be in the present moment, and listen to his body, what happened, what we feel, and accept the situation to be ready to challenge, to do the competition.
Yeah, exactly. Can you see, NL, which sports are you working with, or which ones do you want to work with?
Now I work with someone who practice tennis, football, soccer, and you know, I have someone who are going to do the Olympic game. I'm looking for the name in English. It's ping pong. Do you understand ping pong?
Yeah, we have ping pong. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So now I'm working with someone who will participate to Olympic game, and the sport will be ping pong. So I'm happy. I'm very happy.
Great. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, table, or we could call it table tennis. Too. On a table, yeah. Yeah, wow, that's great. And so football, it's soccer?
Yes.
Yeah, because you call it football, we call it soccer, same thing. Yeah, so good. That's great. And are any of them high school students that are looking to go to college?
No, in most of the time, all these persons, they're working, they practice sport outside. In France, if you want, the everything about study is for study, and the sport is practice outside when you would like to practice competition. So we don't have the same problem. It's totally different. In the United States, the competition, most of the time, your athlete train in university and go to high competition. But in France, it's totally different.
Oh, yeah, okay. So so that's great. It's good that you have those, that you can work with those athletes. And can you work with them in your, do you have an office, or do you work with them by phone or with a Zoom call?
I use Zoom, yes. I use Zoom because now we are still locked down. So we can't move, and my client doesn't live in France. He lives in Amsterdam, so we work thanks to Zoom.
Oh, good. Okay, that's great. Yeah, thank goodness we have that as a tool. And that works out so well. So, yeah, so... these techniques for handling pressure and anxiety can work well with anyone, regardless of their age. And I think it's great to let athletes know that nervousness can be your ally, that you can harness the power from your nervous system and direct it toward your goals, and that. Athletes, even though you get worried, that worriedness can be to remind yourself that worry and anxiety can be your friend, can help you energize you. And usually athletes that are nervous and anxious oftentimes are the ones that can do the best if you can help them to reassure them that you can find ways to rechannel your negative thoughts and take charge of your emotions and turn that nervous energy into a powerful source of inner strength and confidence, and that you can develop that ability to shift from negative focus to a more constructive way of thinking in your sport, and then that can help you with other aspects of your life too. I know I worked with an athlete that was a gymnast. She was in high school, and she got into, it was actually an Olympian at the Beijing Olympics several years ago, and she performed really well there, and then, we continued to work together with the mental aspects, and then she got a full ride scholarship to Stanford for the 4 years, to Stanford University. And so that was really an example of how working, being able to work with someone closely, it can lead to really top-notch results, getting into the Olympics, becoming an Olympian, and then getting a full scholarship to Stanford, one of the top schools in the country. You can get those kind of results with your athletes too, or any level of just getting into any university can be a good thing. And I think it's good to tell athletes too that it doesn't have to be Stanford or a top flank university. They may be sometimes. There's so many good universities, and a lot of athletes think, oh, you got to get into the top ones, Princeton or Harvard or Stanford or the five elite colleges, and that's it. But there are so many great colleges, and a lot of times it's much less pressure, and they can be the top athlete if they go to another school where they can really perform well and get just as much, you know, just as good a training, maybe without all the pressure, and which can lead to a really satisfying job. So letting them know that there are lots of choices out there, and that nervousness can be a way to really have an opportunity to perform well. So, so just give. I'm not sure if you knew that in the U.S. we had a time change, and so we started. We actually started our call at 9 o'clock. We turned our clocks ahead for daylight savings time a week ago. So we started our call an hour and a half ago. but you may not have. Do you have daylight savings time in France or not?
Do you have?
Yeah, we just had our daylight savings time, so we did the clock, the time change, and so.
Oh yes. Yes, true, but not in France. Not.
Okay. Yes, I should let you know about that ahead of time because right now it's almost 10:30 here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's okay. But I wanted to include you because you're on the call here too. But I wanted to just let you know that our next calls will be on in April on April 8th and April the 22nd. And so maybe if each of you could say something that you what was helpful for you on the call here. Or what, a good nugget that you can take away with you. Dave, are you still there? Or maybe Dave might have finished up the call ahead. Are you there?
I had it on mute. Yeah, sorry, I had it on mute.
It's okay. Yeah, we're always doing that. anything, what was most helpful for you, Dave, for the call? Ideas? Or questions that you have?
I'm just taking it all in, I would say like just kind of that mindfulness piece that I mentioned, and preparing yourself mentally for the event, because I got a lot of young guys and gals, and I find that if they don't come in prepared both mentally and for the event, and the competition gets intense, they start changing things. That was the first meet. Like, I'm going to take a few steps back because that person threw further than me. So they changed their steps. And so on the last throw, I let somebody do that just so they could get a taste of what that was like. And it did not go well. So it was a learning curve, first meet out. But moving forward, right, we're just going to practice it and compete just as we practice. So, it's just, it's nice because the young people are like, a little more open, but they can also be guarded when the competition gets intense. They want to kind of do it their way, and have to fight for it. Like, we're going to be technicians, and our mental game will be right there at lockstep.
Yeah, so that's a good point to make when you get nervous or at a competition, changing something at the last minute, thinking, so and so is doing this, I'll. Just change my stance or change something, and you think that'll be better. And I've done that before races, and think, I should eat this certain food beforehand, give me more energy or something, and end up turning my stomach or somebody was taking. Some energy pills or something. Maybe I should take some energy pills. they're doing this stretch, so I should do this stretch. And doing something different. And you think that's going to be the we're all kind of when we get nervous, anxious, we want to look for that magic bullet, the magic thing that's going to make us better quickly and. And look at other people and see if we want to keep up with the Joneses, keep up with so-and-so, right?
Yeah, yeah. So. It's a good learning curve. It's good. I would not want them to repeat it, but I feel like it was maybe a little necessary for them to understand you cannot adjust your stuff based on somebody else's, you know, experience right there in the moment. It's just not advised. And so I think
If you do want to try something new, better wait till your next practice and try it a few times before a competition. It's okay to experiment with things, but not right there at the competition. Yeah, I remember Frank Shorter was a class that he won the gold medal in I think it was in Germany the Olympics, and I got a chance to give a talk with him. I was on a panel discussion with him at a race down in San Diego once, and I think it's on my YouTube channel somewhere, but I got to speak along with him on this panel, and he was saying, what are the three most important things about the marathon? He said, three most important things are nothing new, nothing new, nothing new. Okay, it's like the three most important things are real estate or location, location, location. So that was a good lesson there. Nothing new. Just keep doing what you're doing and trust in your training. Trust that what you have is enough, right?
Yeah.
Great. And Al, do you have any questions or thoughts or what was most helpful for you?
No, it's good for me. Just next time it will be good for the time.
Yeah, the timing.
Sorry.
So remember that it's, I guess we're, what time is it for you now?
It's six and a half p.m.
Oh, 6:30 p.m. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, in France. p.m. Okay. Well, at least we get to talk for a half hour here.
No, that's
so
good.
Yeah, it's just good to connect with you. It's good to hear your voice, and from far away in France, it's just so nice to hear you and connect. And we'll next time. Do you have any requests for topics, either of you, for next time? What you'd like us to talk about? Or what would be helpful for you?
I think just like case studies. I think those are kind of always helpful. And
the case studies,
That's kind of how you, like for me, like the technique part. Like I teach mindfulness a certain way, but it's always good to hear like a visualization or a technique that's used in real time with a client. I think that helps immensely.
Yeah, like this time with this softball player and stuff. Yeah, because it's great to hear, because it's what's really happening now, what athletes are experiencing as they're coming back from the pandemic. Yeah, the scariness of doing nothing and then all of a sudden having to be in competitions and have people watch you and have your college career, colleges on the line. So much from going from no stakes to from nothing to all of a sudden high stakes. It's having to make these adjustments, and it's knowing that everybody is doing that right now. Most athletes are going through that. It's like coming out of here's spring, like coming out of a hibernation. The bears coming out of hibernation for 6 months or a year.
Yeah.
That we're having to all of a sudden ramp up, but you can tell your athletes that everybody's experiencing the same thing. So if you can learn to be the better at ramping up than other athletes, or do your best at that, then you're going to be better off. I mean, this pandemic is something to remind them, your athletes, that we're all newbies at this. We all had no idea this would be so bad and so long, and we didn't know where we were. Or that it would be so worldwide, and that it would have this kind of effect, and so in a way we're all in this big experiment, So if you can let athletes know that you're not alone, that we're all kind of going through this, and that you can be a friend and an ally to your athletes, and let them know it's going to be okay. And now that we have a vaccine and more people are getting vaccinated, hopefully things will look better and get more open up. And that it's kind of like the new frontier. we're all kind of trying to figure this out together, and so it's a challenge. And in some ways, if you can help your athletes kind of laugh about it, that it is all pretty crazy times, but you can become a stronger athlete. We can become stronger coaches from it, and also you can athletes can become stronger mentally when you can face all kinds of different situations. It does help you become stronger mentally to be able to go through that. If you can share any kind of difficult situation you've been through in the past, any of your own story with your athletes, that can help. I was just, I just went for a short vacation down in Santa Barbara, which is my hometown, and I got down a week ago, and I got down there at 11 o'clock at night. It's howling winds and pouring rain. I was alone, and I was setting up a tent. I was camping, so I had set up my tent in a campground. When it's pouring rain, winds are super strong. If you've ever tried to set up a tent in wind, it was just comical. But I think I was thinking to myself, okay, I'm a sports psychologist. You're strong. You're mentally strong, right? This can make me stronger. And it was laughable, and also it helped me to just realize we can bring our sports psychology into any situation and get through what's going on. And you can also think back to help your athletes think back to, say, the worst time. Maybe this is the worst time they've experienced, and you can say, if I can get through this, I can get through anything, and be able to remember this or remember a really bad time that they've had in the past, and then be able to say, I got through that, so I can get through this. I can get through, this is giving me the skills and the strength to get through this and other situations coming up. This is making me stronger. So just reminding yourself of that. So, So just wanted to, thank you all for joining us. This was great, Dave and Anna L. And I think we've got June and John and others in the background, too, that are listening in on mute. And so this is great. And put on your calendars for the next time, April the 8th and April the 22nd, and we'll do more calls then. And we can share with you more case studies and more situations where we can help our athletes. There's so many ways that we can help them, and this is really exciting, really great to connect with you. So thank you. Dave and Anna L. and Dennis, thank you so much for listening and for calling in and for all your questions and comments. Yeah, I love connecting with you. So, all right, I'll have this call up. I'll send out the link shortly for the replay, too. Okay, thanks, everyone. Have a good day. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Okay, sure. Okay, bye now.